This is Fresh Ed, a weekly podcast that makes complex ideas in educational research easily understood. I'm your host, Will Brehm. For over 2 years, this podcast has aimed to disseminate academic ideas through the medium of audio. This year, Fresh Ed will continue to air interviews with scholars from around the world, but we also are going to experiment. Over the holidays, I got to thinking about new ways I could use audio. Listeners are now familiar with me in the role of interviewer, where the focus is on other people's ideas. I thought maybe you would also be interested in hearing about some of my ideas. Today's show captures what it sounds like inside my head as I piece together different ideas and attempt to form a coherent academic argument. It's like an academic article for your ears, but not exactly. Through the soundscape, I tried to convey how seemingly random ideas come together, the moments of synchronicity, and the thesis that comes out of the mix. This episode is about the indebted student in American higher education. The background sound you hear is being made by students at Mass Art in Boston, who are transforming the burdens of their own debt into cathartic sounds. They are called the Debt Chorus. That's the sound of debt, and this is the sound of me thinking out loud. Okay. The idea is the idea. The focus is the idea. Okay, the idea. Hang on. I better write this down to help me think. So, it all started with the movie, The Big Short.
First of all, how was your travel? How are you?
Well,
uneventful?
Uneventful.
Okay, I've been here for 6 hours. I've already been to the gym, I had 2 poached eggs, and I played blackjack with Harry Dean Stanton.
Thank you for your diary. FaceTime.
I'd like some FaceTime. Just gather information. We're gathering information.
Gathering information. That is what I am doing here. Gathering information.
We're not advertising our short position, right? We don't want to spook everybody. Can you do that? I know you got a big mouth. You like to run it. Can you just keep it shut for a few days?
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll play nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, business is good. Profits are strong, and the mortgage continues to be the bedrock on which this economy is built.
I have a question, please.
I have so many questions.
That was all about the financial crisis in 2007-2008. And it was about people profiting off of everyone else's demise by short-selling the housing market. And that got me interested in shorting the market. What does that mean? How does that work? And I did one of those Khan Academy courses.
You've probably heard the term short sale and have at least a general, what did I do with that? Oh, there, did I scroll down? Let's say you don't like company ABCD very much and you're convinced that the stock is going to go down. So in that situation, you can actually short the stock, which in a very high level is a bet that the stock is going to go down.
And once I learned how shorting works, I was interested in, what other markets are people shorting?
They're shorting for-profit companies that work in education. And so these companies are increasingly diverse, but the companies that are being shorted are primarily those that are giving loans to students to attend higher education. And it's interesting, right? Because first,
loans aren't being given by the government, or if they are, they're being administered by the government, but then managed by for-profit companies. And it's these companies, like Navient, for instance, or Apollo Group, for instance, they're the ones that are being shorted. And so, you know, it made me think, why is there so much debt? Why is there so much, why are so many people taking out loans to go to higher education? And then I started realizing how big the explosion of enrollment rates are in higher education over the last 20, 30 years.
You keep it going, man. You keep those books rolling. You pick up all those books that you're gonna read and not remember, and you roll, man. You get that associate's degree, okay? Then you get your bachelor's. Then you get your master's. Then you get your master's master's. Then you get your doctorate. You go, man. And then when everybody says quit, you show them those degrees, man. When everyone says, hey, you're not working, you're not making any money, you say, you look at my degrees and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? Hate all you want, but I'm smart. I'm so smart. And I'm in school. These guys out here making money all these ways, and I'm spending mine to be smart. You know why? Because when I die, buddy, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right, those degrees.
Why would more students enroll in higher education? What's causing them to do that? It reminds me of something Hugh Lauder said when I spoke to him.
Now we have parents and students who are going, okay, if I want a good job, then I've got to get a good education. And it's an idea, of course, which has permeated through society.
School spirit, alpha number, alpha step, omega step, kappa step.
We have been slipping. In a single generation, we've fallen from first place to 12th place in college graduation rates for young adults. Think about that. In one generation, we went from number one to number 12. Now that's unacceptable, but it's not irreversible. We can retake the lead. If we're serious about making sure America's workers and America itself succeeds in the 21st century, the single most important step we can take is to make sure that every one of our young people here in Austin, here in Texas, here in the United States of America has the best education that the world has to offer. That's the number one thing we can do.
Step, omega step, kappa step, sigma step, gangsters walk, pimps gon' talk, ooh, hecky no, that boy is raw.
AKA step, delta step. So, how do we explain the reason why so many people feel the need to take out money to go to university, right? I mean, human capital theory is sort of the fundamental assumption people make, and this race to get more and more and more education, more degrees. I think the core of it is this belief that more education is going to result in a higher wage job. And this is particularly at higher education, right? That's why people want to go into higher education, get skilled and trained in a particular way of thinking. And if you do arts, it's not as valuable if you do engineering. This sort of logic.
The theory was the first sophisticated account of the relationship between education and the economy. And it said that basically people who were better educated would be more productive. And in being more productive, they would then earn a higher income. So that brought education into the picture, because what it required was for higher numbers of people to be educated in order that they could become more productive, so economies could grow and their income would also accordingly grow.
Thank you.
So that's the economy. Was it in that interview I did with Steve Cleese where he talks about the social side of human capital theory?
It was, they called it a revolution in thought. And it, the idea behind it was essentially simple. That education wasn't just a consumer good, it was an investment. It was an investment in individuals, and it was an investment by society in societal development.
So, I have to go back to shorting. When investors short, they think they see a fundamental flaw that others don't. In the housing market, I guess that was giving people loans who didn't have jobs.
So do applicants ever get rejected?
Seriously? Look, if they get rejected, I suck at my job.
Well, even if they have no money?
Well, my firm offers ninja loans. Oh, yeah. No income, no job. You know, I just leave the income section blank if I want. Corporate doesn't care. These people just want homes, you know, and they go with the flow.
Could you hold on a second?
But what is that in the education market? What is the fundamental flaw in the education market? Makes me think of one of my favorite economists from Australia named Steve Keen.
What's the student loans, from my point of view as a teacher, have done is the students turn at university not focusing upon learning and education, but focusing upon financing their way through as well as they can, getting their education as quickly as they can, and they really aren't trying to learn, they're trying to get a credential. And we've devalued education by putting a monetary value on it, particularly in the form of debt.
But the debt must be having an effect too. It's not just that the quality of education has decreased. It also has to be something social, that there's a social effect from large amounts of student debt. I think David Harvey had something to say about this.
And it's, in a way, it's a form of social control, in the same way about housing debt, that it was said in the 1930s that debt-encumbered homeowners don't go on strike. So debt-encumbered students don't rock the boat. Well, they want to keep their jobs. They don't want to be fired, you know, because they've got all that debt they've got to pay off. It's also about, you know, keeping capital into the future, because debt is a claim on future labor. And it's a claim on the future. So, in fact, we foreclosed on people's futures by increasing levels of debt. And then that means that it's hard to imagine a transformation of capitalism because you've got so much debt.
So, if education is only about getting a credential, and student debt is a form of social control, then the value and purpose of higher education seems to be changing. I think Maurizio Lazzarato had something to say about this.
He's an economist?
Si è spostata su questo tipo di relazione. Questo tipo di relazione
non è che
elimini la relazione capitale-lavoro, la relazione di welfare.
Lazzarato says that the very purpose of higher education today is for students to learn how to be in debt so that they can participate in the capitalist world.
By going into debt, by realizing that is the function of workers, is to constantly be in debt, go into debt, take out more debt, go work, try and pay it off, and it's that kind of never-ending cycle that fuels the effective demand that is needed to keep capital going. But I think going one step further, right? I mean, I think that's an interesting insight from Lazzarato.
It's Lazzarato, Will.
And Harvey. But I think it's even more interesting when we think about what Hugh Lauder says, right? And this is that with the rise of automation and the Industrial Revolution 4.0, all of these new ideas where companies like Uber are basically going to, quote unquote, disrupt whole industries by automating them and putting out all sorts of people from work, he argues, or he says kind of, you know, very crudely, that human capital is debt.
That robots can take many of the jobs that skilled workers used to take. We are moving, I think, into an era in which jobs and income will become increasingly uncertain for many, including many graduates. And that requires us to rethink the entire relationship between education and the labour market, because the labour market is so radically changing. If so many of the skilled jobs that we have are going to be done by robots, then what's going to happen to graduates? What's going to happen to those who are educated? Work it, make it, do it. Makes us older, better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me. Can only make us stronger. I need you to hurry up now, cause I can't wait much longer.
But if that's happening, if his reading on sort of the global labor market is correct, and I think he's interviewed all sorts of CEOs and big companies to like see how they see human capital. But on the other hand, we have students taking out enormous debt because they really believe that they're gonna get a job. And yes, it may foreclose their future, and it may not make them so creative, but maybe they're never gonna get a job, even the lowest sort of minimal job, because it's gonna be automated. So there's a dialectic that gets created after we think about the effects of shorting the education market, higher education market. And the dialectic is, on the one hand, human capital theory is convincing people to go into more and more debt to get education because it will give a high rate of return. But then on the other hand, there's this idea that Hugh Lauder talks about, which is human capital theory is dead, that in the future economy, the laborers will not be needed because of automation.
So this dialectic, what's interesting about it is that it mirrors the creative destruction that can be found in capitalism writ large. So on the one side, there's a level of creativity in the investors who are shorting the education market and basically profiting from student debt, finding new ways to make profit. But then there's a destruction to it as well, in all different forms, from the level of debt students face, the foreclosure of the future, but also things like the complete destruction of human capital theory and the individual student who simply learns how to be indebted through higher education. Baby, you're making it older, better, faster, stronger.
Is rock solid.
It's a time bomb.
Death, as the last few corpses lay rotting on the slimy thoroughfare. The shutters lifted an ancient temperance building high on Boucher's Hill, and red mutant eyes gazed down on Hunger City. No more big wheels.
So in effect, we have the living dead walking among us. Graduates who are totally burdened by a life of debt, but effectively dead to the labor market because they can't get jobs. The struggle is actually going to be the point of realization inside the university of students as consumers paying universities who are selling education and actually saying, you know what, we're not going to go in debt for this, but we still demand it.
Every day, several times a day, a thought comes over me. I owe more debt than I ever can pay back, more money than I'll ever see.
This episode of Fresh Ed was created and produced by Johanna Fay. Original music for Fresh Ed comes from Digital Primate. Numerous audio samples were used in today's show, from the films The Big Short and The Night of the Living Dead, YouTube clips from the Khan Academy, a Steve Keen interview on RT, an atomic bomb explosion, the sound of robots, and the sound of Maurizio Lazzarato talking from Global TV Project, a speech by President Obama from the White House Online Archives, and the following songs: David Bowie's Future Legend, Daft Punk's Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, The Debt Chorus's The Sound of Debt, Gorillaz' To Binge, Lou Reed's The Debt I Owe, Kanye West's School Spirit skit School Spirit and Stronger. Fresh Ed interviews with Hugh Lauder, David Harvey, and Steve Cleese. Please note that opinions expressed on Fresh Ed are solely those of the host or the guest interviewed, not Fresh Ed, which takes no institutional position. If you liked what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes. It really does help. Fresh Ed is made possible through listener donations. Please consider becoming a member of Fresh Ed by visiting freshedpodcast.com/support. Thanks for listening. I'm Will Brehm, and I'll see you next time.